Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome to the How We Scaled show. My name is Jeff Brandeis, president and founder of CEO of Brandeis Coaching and Brandeis Training Solutions. Each of our episodes will feature a CEO, VP of sales, or an entrepreneur that has scaled their business to six, seven, even eight figures. And on the show, we will ask questions to them about what they did that scaled their business, that grew their revenues, that made them what they are today. So you're ready to listen and learn? Stay tuned. One, two, and three. Here we go.
Welcome to our next guest, Blair Koch. So glad to have you here. Could you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Sure. So just a tad about me. I am a wife or a partner, a stepmother, a lover of outdoors and just good fun things. I live in the mountains and truly value every single moment of that. What I do is I touch people's lives. I transform their businesses. And as a result, I change their lives for the better so that they can lead the rich, rewarding life they deserve.
Well, I'm kind of jealous because I love where you live. You live in Denver and you are surrounded by just pure beauty and endless trails to hike on. You could just stop on the side of the road and there's a trail everywhere.
Very true.
It's amazing to me. Amazing. It's just a gorgeous state. So you are a very fortunate woman. So how long have you been in business, Blair?
I have been in business for myself for 21 years. So it's been truly the most psychically rewarding thing I've ever done. So.
And have you been doing the same business for 21 years or have you had various different entrepreneurial endeavors?
You know, that's a great question. And mostly I have done the same thing. When I first hung out my own shingle, I did predominantly product marketing, product management, marketing work for small to mid-sized businesses. And then for the last 16 years, I've really focused heavily on working with small to mid-sized businesses, their owners in particular, and their leadership teams, helping them take their business to the next level. So growing it, scaling it, getting it ready for sale, which we should always be doing, getting the right people on the bus, so to speak, and whatnot. So that's truly what, that's my passion. It's my wheelhouse.
So 21 years ago, how did you stumble into this entrepreneurial endeavor?
Well, I've always loved business since ever, you know, my whole life.
Were you the kid walking around with your little money bags? And
well, my father was an entrepreneur and I always used to love, you know, working with him and helping him out. I started in corporate America, big companies, IBM, General Motors, EDS. And then I did a bunch of startups and growth of companies. But what really prompted me to hang out my own shingle was I had a bout with cancer. Which, you know, everyone's like, oh, I'm sorry. But really, in a twisted sort of way, it was the best thing that happened to me because I realized I don't want to work 60 to 80 hour weeks. I want to own and have control over my life and what I do. And so that's when I hung out my shingle. I just like, yep, I'm doing it. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me. And sometimes it takes those life-threatening moments or whatever to really like get in touch with what is it that you really want to do. I used to travel 80%+ of the time and like I want family and friends and community.
So did you already have family before you had cancer or so that was all during okay. That's a big struggle to manage all of that and battling for your life. So
it was a journey.
Yeah, I could imagine.
And it's been, 21 years now. And I still, you know, I talk about it, but in a really healthy way, because it truly did, like the values and whatnot that I always had, it brought them more to surface, right? And it's like, my career, while important and I love it, is not my number one, right? My my relationships are. And yeah.
I love that. I couldn't agree more. At the end of life, that is really what it's all about, isn't it?
Yeah. You're not going to be on your deathbed saying, gee, I wish I worked another hour.
Right?
It's not going to happen.
Wait, I have some work to do.
Exactly, right?
Just give me one more hour. I'll be right back.
And this, I tell people that all the time because they're like, they're so busy with their business. They miss their kids growing up. They don't do the vacations, the stuff they want to do. I'm like, whoa.
Right? Yeah. 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 So with COVID and you having all of this luxurious land surrounding you, was that like a blessing for you? And how did COVID affect your business? What kind of things did you have to do to change, or did it affect it at all?
I know it definitely affected it. But what kind of, I think the first thing was, you know, it was, I've always been one that takes care of myself, physically, gone outside, enjoyed my surroundings because you couldn't go anywhere else. Mm-hmm. That was just like every day I possibly could, unless weather or whatever. It's like, I'd be out, I'd go for a walk in the neighborhood or a bike ride or a hike, right? Whatever. So it was just like, I'm going. I've always had a home office, but pre-COVID, I used to go to my customers' offices every day. And so I'd spend, you know, potentially 3 to 4 hours a day just commuting back and forth around and doing my shtick. And with COVID, obviously we changed that model. And so now all of our one-on-ones that we have are virtual. Everybody's trained now. When we bring business owners together and put them into a peer group or a CEO advisory board, which is one of the things we do, because of COVID, we had to keep those virtual. But now we have them, some in person, some virtual, and some are a combination, kind of depending on the group of people. But the business will for sure stay predominantly virtual with, you know, some of that in person, because it's still different in person.
It is still different in person, but I have found that people that were very anti-Zoom and anti-virtual are now going, oh my gosh, all this time I'm saving, because somewhere like Denver, it truly is. The traffic is super heavy there.
The traffic is heavy, and that's the kind of to the first part of the question is, because I'm not spending all that time, you know, commuting, so to speak, driving around, I'm much more efficient. I get more done during the day, but it's also much easier. You know, it's like I make a point, like stand up, and I have a standing desk, so I'm standing up, sitting down, but take a break, get away from the computer, go for a walk, go stretch, do something and get away from it. And I can do that now, certainly much easier than before. So it has provided a lot of flexibility as well.
So it improves your mental and health, physical well-being.
It does, but it takes intentionality.
Yes.
Right. I know a lot of people, oh my God, I've been in front of Zoom all day. It's like, okay, well, you own that.
Yep. Got to schedule your calendar. And it's really hard sometimes. It really is.
Yeah. It really is for sure. But you have to own that personal care. Cause if you don't take care of yourself, you can't take care of your business, your family, your friends, right? So it all starts with you. And it might sound selfish, but it's actually not. I mean, it is, but it isn't.
Right. Absolutely. So do you have a team that you had to manage during COVID, and what did that look like?
I do have a team. So I have a direct team. I have a partner, and I have an employee that, you know, we've had to manage. We've always been virtual internally. So that was like
nice.
A non-issue for us because we already had all the infrastructure. We had everything in place. However, you know, one of the big changes is the business owners, all the people that we work with, for a lot of them, that was new. And going through just the shift to virtual, the PPP loan, I mean, all of the legal changes, we were hitting it hard, just staying on top of things, giving back, supporting them, helping them as they tried to manage their teams. And that was different. And, you know, we have some people who were essential, who are essential, and they were always in person, you know, manufacturing companies, construction companies. And so we, you know, we're working with those folks as well in terms of how to best manage that and scale that.
So how did you, what were your initial lead generation tactics whenever you first started your business, and have they changed and switched as your business has evolved?
Yes and yes. and part of it's the evolution of the business. Part of it's the evolution of just the market itself. So we've always, from day one through today, of course, number one is referrals. That is your best source, be it from customers or partners, right? Whatever, get out, network, all of that stuff. So that's always huge. We used to use telemarketing very effectively, you know, 15 years ago or whatever. And now that's not a viable option in terms of ways to reach people. So we do a lot of different things. We do community outreach. So every month we have an educational event, used to be in person, but now it's virtual, which allows us to bring more people in. But so we, you know, we do a lot of give back to the community. We have strategic partners and other colleagues who, again, we're giving to them, they're giving to us. We do social media. We provide a lot of content. We do podcast. So what we're doing here, right, is just another way to, you know, we celebrate business owners and have them tell their story to the community. And, you know, then we give back as well with things like this. But definitely things have shifted. We used to do direct mail. Now, we, you know, direct mail also doesn't work. One, a lot of people aren't in their office and don't get their mail.
Good point.
But they don't read it. You know, and an interesting one is email, right? So now everybody is blasting out emails. They all are giving away, you know, webinars and events and stuff like that. And so that's a pretty crowded space, because how do you get the attention of the business owner who's like, got all of these emails? So, you know, that one we do, it's a, you know, value add for sure, just good quality content. But for some people, they love it, and others, you know, they're never going to look at it.
No. Yeah. So have you figured out a way to get people to open your emails?
The subject line is, well, a few things, right? So of course the subject line has to be like compelling, right? You can't just say, you know, last national bank newsletter, or, you know, whatever. So it has to give them a reason to open it. You know, what's the why to open it? But then I think once you have them opening it, the content in there, if it's salesy, it's not going to resonate. They're likely going to unsubscribe or not follow up again, right? So there's got to be something in there that they can take away.
Yes.
Ideally, there's something in there where they might go back and read it a second or a third time, or forward it on to somebody else. Hey, I thought this would be interesting for you. So, you know, in those emails, you want to have a good value add piece. You might want to celebrate or spotlight one of your customers. You know, hey, here's what such and such a customer did. And it's totally about them, right? Yes. Do not make it about you.
It's a hard thing to do. It's in our nature, right?
It is in our nature, but in talking about them and celebrating them, spotlighting, you are in a way, you're talking about you because you've contributed to their success. And, you know, it could even be, you know, celebrating or promoting somebody who's gone through something really, really hard and turned things around. We have a gal that I work with. It's a manufacturing company, family owned. She's been running it, but her father technically owned the business. And the company had a huge COVID outbreak. Practically everybody was out of the office. Her father got it really bad, was in the hospital for months, respirator in an induced coma, and he passed away. Oh. And this young lady has kept the business going. She's putting the right people in place. She's obviously got her own grieving to go through, right? Because it's her father. Right. And then put in a lot of things in place that he hadn't had in place. So she's gone through this very difficult transition. She's grown exponentially in so many ways. But we celebrated that, right? Because that's a major achievement for her, a major growth thing for her and for her business. And her business will now go, you know, she's third generation, and she'll take that to the next level. So those all count. Those are all wins.
That is a definite win. That is not an easy thing to manage. No. That's pretty impressive. Tell me a little bit about when you specifically decided to scale your growth in your business, and what did you learn from that?
What did you learn? It's always hard. Let's just put that out there, right? The when is, you know, kind of from the moment I started the business, right? It's always going to start here. Here's my expectations. Here's where I'm going to grow it. Not putting a ceiling on it, not saying I want to grow it to X, right? Because I want to go beyond X, right? So I just, there's a lot of ways to grow a business, not just financially, but in terms of your people and yourself and your customers and all of that. And that's always been my, you know, one of my mantras. I think what people know academically, but maybe not emotionally, is the recognition of how difficult it is to scale. Like, it's fun and it's exciting. And you're like, oh my gosh, we're going to hit this number this year. We've never done that. And so that's super cool. It's exciting. It juices you. And yet as you grow and hit different revenue points, things break. Things that were always broken, but didn't matter, now matter. And the good news is you have more customers, and the bad news is you have more customers.
True.
It is, right? Because that's just, it's causing some of that pain. And there's always that teeter-totter, for lack of a better term, that people play of hiring people and when to hire them. Oh, I can't afford to hire them right now because I don't have the business, or I don't necessarily have enough. It's cutting it tight. But then I'm like, well, if you don't put the infrastructure in place for as you grow, you're going to be even greater pain, because then you'll be trying to hire when you're already behind. And it takes, depending on the position, you know, a few months to a year to get somebody fully productive. So that super, super hard part is being able to make those decisions to invest in the business and put the infrastructure in place, which is people, it's IT, it's processes, I mean, it's everything. So that as you're growing and adding those customers, you can do a much better job providing them the quality, you know, experience and service and all of that that you are known for in your brand. That's truly the key. That's the crux of it.
And how do you help your clients do that in their business?
Well, part of it is doing just that. You have to hire. I can't afford it. You can't afford not to.
Right.
That's a little bit of a smart aleck remark, but it's pretty true. But planning. So it's understanding, here's what our growth is going to look like. Here's what we're targeting. Here's all the things we're going to do for that growth, right? Here's our sales activities. Here's our marketing initiatives. Here's our expectations. And then you're going to start to see, when you do that, you're going to start to see your financial curve as that starts to, or continues to go up and to the right, so to speak. And then you have to build into that, I need a person, right, you know, to support this by a certain date. So that means I have to back up and I have to start hiring here, because it takes me this long to hire and get them trained up. But and so many business owners, that word planning or strategic planning is icky, because they think it's very painful and very hard. And it doesn't have to be. It's small, bite-sized baby steps, but you have to allocate time every week, every month, to work on the business and not in it. And that's where you're thinking strategically, creatively, how am I going to go from where I am today to where I want to be? And a super simple analogy, but that works, is if you're taking a road trip, you can just get in the car and drive. I mean, all roads will take you somewhere. It might be a really long way to get there. Or before you take that road trip, you can take a look at a map and decide, here's where we want to go. And we want to stop here, here, and here, right? But you have a plan. And you might adjust that plan along the way. You might say, oh, wow, you know what? We're so close to wherever. Let's go do that. But the business is the same way. You have to have a map that's going to help get you where you need to go so that you can put the right everything in place.
That's a great analogy. All right. Simple. So it's simple. Well, it's simple, but you know, it's hard.
Yeah. It's all in the execution for sure.
Why does it have to be so hard? I guess if it wasn't so hard, everybody would be able to do it, right?
Yeah, you are totally correct there.
Well, Blair, can you tell our listeners where and how they can get in contact with you?
Absolutely. So you can find me at www.tabdenverwest.com or just do a search on Blair Koch, K-O-C-H. And you will find me, you will find our website, you'll find me on LinkedIn, probably Twitter. you'll find references out there for sure. That would be the best way to go do that. And that'd be where you can find us.
Well, thank you for all the great value you added to the podcast. And for our listeners, I know that somebody got some ahas and some little nuggets of gold from you today. Thank you.
My pleasure. And you know what? One more thing for your listeners, for those of you listening, if you go to our website, www.tabdenverwest, and if you go to strategic planning, you will find a complimentary business assessment. So we'll take a look at aspects of your business, be able to come back and tell you, hey, here's areas that need some focus or some improvement. Be my pleasure to get that to you.
So my initial thing is like, ooh, I don't want her to see that.
Confidential. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Right. So I imagine somebody else is like, whoo. It's like standing naked in the middle of Times Square. So what do you say to somebody? We're going to go over a little bit, but I don't mind. What do you say to somebody who might be feeling that way, might be embarrassed or think that maybe they should be somewhere where they aren't and they don't want people to see that?
Super question. So here's like the simple facts. 75 to 80% of all small to mid-sized businesses have the exact same problems. So you are not alone, be it sales, marketing, finance, HR, planning, lack thereof, time bankruptcy, partners, right? I mean, most of all of the challenges are all the same. So, you know, we've seen them before, we've helped people, and you are where you are. And just be cool with that, right? Like, okay, here's where I am. And then, you know, as I take you through it, like, okay, here's some areas that you're probably going to want to work on and, you know, from a priority order. And then like, where do you want to go? What do you want to do? And one of the things I always start with is tell me about your personal vision. Do you want to retire, semi-retire? When? How much money do you need? What do you want to go do? Because that's really what it's about, right? It's that rich, rewarding life that you all deserve and should go do and not wait until you're retired to go have fun. So
start. Absolutely. Now. And it's good to know because you can't do anything if you don't know that you need to do something. That's right. Thank you, Blair.
Thank you, Rosemary.
Thank you so much for joining. I truly hope everyone enjoyed the podcast and our special guest. I know each of you are really excited to possibly even be a guest on our podcast. So feel free to fill out the application form that's below. We'll follow back up with you, be in touch with you, and it'd be great to have you. In addition, I know I'll be reaching out to you to see how we might be able to even do some business and have a conversation about working together. Again, thank you so much for joining our podcast. And if you do know of someone else that actually would like to be on the podcast, feel free to recommend him or her to also fill out the application below. Again, thank you so much for joining. Have a great day and see you next week on How We Scale.